Morning.
Morning.
I was sitting out there. I just arrived, sitting out there, and then all of a sudden, five cars drove up. So I realized the college students are back. Now, who are the college students? Can you raise your hands, please? That's it? Wait a minute. You're afraid to admit you're a college student? Okay. All right. So you're back for the summer? Okay, let me ask you a question. When you were in school, did you go to church? Yeah? I only hear two voices. How about the others? Did you go to church?
Yes.
Okay. Do you go regularly?
Yes.
Every Sunday?
Yes.
Well, I guess you're unique. There's a trend that college students, they don't really go to church while they're away from home. They come back home and they go to church. But in college, on Sundays and on Fridays, they just, you know, stay home. Recently, one of the teenagers that used to be in our youth fellowship, you know, we have, Auntie Lucy and I, throughout the years, we have had many, many teenagers who come through youth fellowship. For one reason or another, they moved on. They get married, they have boyfriends, they go to another church, or girlfriends go to another church. One of the girls Facebooked Auntie Lucy, and she was saying, "What's going on? Where's Jessica? Where's Jerry? I'm just giving you names, okay? Where is Jenny? I'm so upset. They don't go to church anymore. They don't go to church anymore." And it's true, you know, we count the number of youths that stop going to church. Yet, they consider themselves to be Christians. Same for college students who don't go to church in college, on campus. You consider yourself a Christian, but you're on campus 8-9 months of the year. So if you don't go to church, if you don't go to fellowship, I could not vouch for anybody's devotional discipline, including myself. Then how are you going to have fellowship with God when you're in campus for the 8-9 months? I mean, there are reasons, right? I don't like the people in that church. I don't like the people in that fellowship. I'm busy. I'm tired from Saturday. I have to stay in to study. Now, for those of us who come to church on Fridays and Sundays, we're doing good. High schoolers, you come Saturday, Friday. I heard there was a, last weekend was a big thing at Pastor Lee Hearn's farm. I just heard yesterday. It's good, right? You spend a lot of time fellowshipping and Sunday worshiping. But then the question is, what happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday? Well, Saturday, last Saturday is different. What happened at the rest of the time? Were you in God's presence, Jesus' presence? Or maybe you're somewhere else that if you need Him, you know where to find Him. We call ourselves Christians too. But maybe we don't have any inkling or any worries how we're doing spiritually. What are the things that we do when we have a problem with our brothers or sisters, you know, family at home, or when you have a difficulty with your parents, the things you say, the things you think about, are they pleasing to God, or are they displeasing to God? We have no worries. We're Christians. It doesn't really matter whether the things we do, the things we think about, the things we say, are reflective of our status as children of God. We consider ourselves Christians because we pray before we have a meal at home, at church. How many of us say grace in school before you eat? yeah, I say grace, open eye. Or maybe like close my eye for like 1 second. But we're Christians. Now, today, John chapter 4, right? Very familiar story. Very, very familiar story. Jesus went through Samaria and went to Jacob's well and met this woman. He was from the journey, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about the 6th hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, the well, probably a place that the woman had visited many, many times. The well, probably a place where a lot of people gathered, congregated, and they talk, they gossip, they socialize. But for her, with her background, maybe, probably, she just got water and she'll go home. But on that day, she came to the well. She did not expect to encounter Jesus, this stranger that she didn't know. And yet it was that day that Jesus said to her, Jesus said, will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink? Very simple request, but very, very unique, unusual request. Jesus said to her, now I wonder, when was the last time we realized that Jesus said something to us? When did we realize that Jesus said something to you? When did I realize the last time that Jesus said something to me? Oh, maybe the last time that Jesus said something to me was when he called me to accept him as my Savior. Well, how many years ago was that? You mean to tell me that throughout the number of years or whatever, Jesus never spoke with you? Through the Spirit? Through other people's words? Through messages, through your thoughts, through events. Jesus spoke to the woman, and Jesus speaks with us. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. So what did Jesus say to us last time? Or maybe the other day. Oh, I don't know, I didn't. See, the problem with us, or maybe I should say, with the woman, she heard what Jesus said. Jesus was a stranger, but she heard what Jesus said, and she engaged in a conversation. She engaged in a dialogue with Jesus. Whereas for us, when Jesus tried to tell us something, when Jesus was saying things to us, we weren't paying full attention. You know, someone asked me whether my son John is home. Yeah, he was home. He's come home. And I don't know, I'm not saying bad things about him. He's a very good kid, okay? But I would say, you know, waking hours, right? 90% of the time. 90% of the time. He was parked in front of his laptop with his cell phone on the table in front of the TV. Now, does that describe any of us here? Aside from getting up to eat or, you know, whatever, right? Majority of the time, he's in front of the laptop, cell phone. So one time I was talking to him and there wasn't no eye contact. All right? He wasn't looking at me. He said he was listening to me, but he was texting. Maybe you guys can multitask real well. You can hear, and you can talk to your friends at the same time. I don't know whether parents here have that experience with your children. When you talk to them, they're like on the cell phone, you know, on the computer doing something else. We weren't paying attention these days. Or your mind is somewhere else. I think with young people, if you're typical young people, your mind's all over the place. Okay? You tend not to think, you tend not to plan, things just happen. Okay? I bet you, you know, you guys are too young to know this show, Seinfeld. I know some of, you know, it's a show about nothing, right? You watch for half an hour, you realize there was nothing going on. Okay? And that's what happened if I look inside your brain. The same thing, there's nothing going on. Okay? And if I look at some of your IMs, your texts, you know, I don't look at my children's, you know, I don't have their Facebook, okay? So I don't know what's going on. But anyways, if I look at them, if they were texting with their friends for half an hour, I bet you all I can see is LOL, LOL, LOL. And there's nothing going on. Everything's LOL. When was the last time Jesus spoke to us? And what did he tell us about? We didn't know he was talking to us. Even if you knew he was talking to you, you tuned him out. You didn't want to listen. Will you give me a drink? He said, oh, me? You asking me? Oh, get it yourself. The water's right there. We don't feel like it. Jesus asks us to do something. Your answer is, I don't feel like it. I don't feel it. You know, that might be the case that we don't even realize that Jesus is talking to us. Maybe we consider him a stranger. You know, you rarely go to New York in a city, okay? Your parents should tell you, if you a stranger talks to you, okay, there are certain things you need to do. Lower your head, no eye contact, keep walking, walk faster and faster. Maybe that's how we treat Jesus, okay? I'm afraid of dogs, I tell you. You know, big ones, little ones, tiny ones, I'm afraid of them. Ones on a leash, I'm afraid of them. Okay? So, even with dogs, I don't like eye contact. You know, I don't look at the dog because what if he looks at me and says, gee, this guy's weird looking at me and comes at me? No eye contact. But the problem is, a lot of times, we do the same thing to Jesus. Jesus is trying to engage us. To fellowship with us, to talk to us. There are important things he needs to remind us of. And yet, we turn the other way and run. But for this woman, she engaged. And she says, how can you ask me for a drink? And Jesus continued, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said, wow, living water. The first time she heard of that, everyone who drinks this water will never thirst again. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. The woman said to herself, if I can get this water, I don't need to come here to the well anymore and get water. I want that water. See, she heard Jesus' call. She heard what Jesus was saying to her. And she engaged. And she had a genuine stirring in her heart in response to Jesus. When was the last time we heard Jesus and we had a stirring in our heart? That we're going to do something. That Jesus is asking us to do something. He is reminding us something. Really, I think a lot of times we're too naive to think that our spiritual well-being is not at stake. We think we're okay. In college, we don't have fellowship, we don't attend church regularly, we're okay. We come here Friday, we come here Sunday, Monday to Thursday, we're okay. Early April, President Obama in Turkey, in the conference, in the press conference, he said something. I think you probably heard this. He said, one of the greatest things of the United States is that we have a very large Christian population. But we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation, or a Jewish nation, or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens who are bounded by ideals and a set of values. Who has heard that? Only a few. Let me repeat. The President of the United States said, we are not a Christian nation. We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation. We have a very large Christian population. If I may, I would like to change what he said a little bit. Instead of we have a very large Christian population, I would like to say we have a very large self-identified Christian population. Newsweek magazine, a magazine which I stopped reading 4 or 5 years ago, I found out they had an article in early April also. It talked about the end of Christian America. End of Christian America. And in there, it says, there was a study that says, for the last 20 years, the percentage of people in America who identify themselves as Christians went down from 86% to 76%. A 10% drop in 20 years. That is, in 1990, 86% of the population identified themselves as Christians. 76% now identify themselves as Christians. I'm shocked. I'm not shocked by the drop in percentage. I'm shocked by the percentage themselves. If 76% of the population of America is Christian, I don't know where to find them. That is to say, 3 out of your friends are Christians. We have over 300 million people in America. 76% is over 225 million people that claim themselves to be Christians. You know, we don't have a test. We don't have a test like an SAT. You know, you get a, I don't know what your parents think you should get, all right? Maybe you're happy with 600 or 500. I don't think you'd be happy with 400, anyways. But there's no test. You know, you have to score a certain point to be a Christian, right? So anybody can call themselves a Christian. For the last 6 months, I've been going to City College in New York City. It's a city university system, okay? City College, engineering school. They have a Chinese Christian Fellowship. And I started going there in January. And at the first time, it was about 25 kids, mostly boys. They only like 2 girls. Engineering school, so science, so they're mostly boys. They always say, every time, say, where are the girls? No girls. And at the end, there's about, I say, 15 to 17 people attending regularly, right before finals. This is a Christian fellowship, right? Chinese Christian Fellowship. In there, maybe there are 3 Christians. Okay? There's one person who had been coming to my after-school program since he was in high school. And he had gone to college, and he is the secretary for this Christian fellowship. And he called himself a Christian. Well, I don't see him coming to, you know, I've known him for 3 years. I haven't seen him one time in the fellowship. I haven't seen him on Sundays. at church. I don't know when he accepted Christ. I didn't have a chance to ask him, and I will. Yet he calls himself a Christian. See, there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect here. People think, people consider, people identify themselves as Christians. But yet, does their life show that they're a Christian? You say you're a Christian in front of your friends, in your school, in college, if you work, in front of your colleagues, do you show any characteristics that is that Christ is in your life, Christ is in control of your life, that you are truly a Christian? The author of the Newsweek article continues to say something. He said, while we remain a nation shaped by religious faith, our politics and our cultures are less influenced by arguments of an explicitly Christian character. That is to say, even though 3/4 of the country identify themselves as Christians, their explicit Christian character has very little influence on society. We are Christians. We are not having any impact on society as a whole. The reverse is true. The society has affected our life, our daily life, our belief, our thinking. The salt of the earth has lost its saltiness. The salt of the earth has lost its flavor. The light of the world has been put under a bowl. For whatever reason, Christians, somehow we don't want to be Christian explicitly. I mean, we don't unfurl a banner at school saying that I'm a Christian. I think there is a feeling, I really don't want my friends to know that I come to fellowship on a Friday night. Or I don't really want my friends to know that, oh, I can't hang out with them on a Sunday going somewhere because I have to be at church. Seems like we're ashamed of the gospel. Remember what Paul said? Remember what Paul said? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Or maybe, to look at it in a way, instead of thinking that we don't have any explicit character influencing the people around us, maybe the other thing is more relevant, is that we think ourselves as Christians, but when we measure our pulse, it's a very weak pulse. It's not really a strong, vibrant pulse. Galatians 2, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is Christ living in us? But yet, when we feel the pulse, it's a very weak pulse. What has happened to us? Have we listened to what Jesus is saying to us? Have we heard? Have we engaged him in a dialogue as he's trying to engage us? Jesus told a woman, everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The living water we have in Christ will well up will well up into a spring of water. But unfortunately, for too long, I think we have been too eager and willing to compromise our faith in front of our friends. But for this woman, she heard what Jesus said to her, and she had a stirring in her heart. And you know what? Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." And the woman said, "No, I don't have any husband." Jesus said, "You're right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had five husbands. And the man you're with now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." That's what Jesus said to the woman. What about if Jesus said something to this effect to us? "You're right when you say you have no other love. The fact is, you have had five other things you love more than you love me." What did Jesus say to us? "Yeah, you said you have no love, but I can name you five other things you love more than you love me." We love being accepted by people. We love success. I think we love enjoyment and pleasure and money. There are things we love. I have one of the youths I'm working with. They're all the age in around 20-year-old. Even though they're in high school, they're a little bit older. They just came from China. So he met a girlfriend early spring. Every time I see him, I'm not exaggerating. Every time I see him, he's on the phone with the girlfriend. When he walks from his school to church, that's probably about a 20-minute walk. He's on the phone with his girlfriend. When he gets to church, he eats. He is on the phone with the girlfriend. After he eats, he goes to the bathroom. He's in there for X number of minutes. He is on the phone with his girlfriend. He comes out, starts doing his homework. He is on the phone with his girlfriend. Now, they must be on the same plan. Otherwise, their minutes will be astronomical. He loves her, right? First love. When was the last time you had that feeling with Christ? You know, when Christ challenges us, "Do you love me?" "Yeah, I have no other love. I love you, Lord." And Jesus will tell you, "I can name you five other things that you love more than you love me." What are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? The woman left her water jar and went back to the town. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. What is our testimony? I hope that there are people who have believed in Christ because of our testimony. But I challenge you today, before you testify someone, change yourself first. Change yourself first. Be made right with God. Be made right with Christ. Don't assume that we are Christians. Yeah, there are no tests. There's no SATs. How many points you can score on this test as to what kind of Christian you are. But you know in your heart whether you're in the right place with Jesus or not. So yeah, what is our testimony? But before we think about testifying to others, before you think about if your parents are not believing, witnessing to them, change yourself. Make right with God. Make right with Jesus. And hear what he has to say to you. Jesus said to the woman, you please give me a drink? What do you think he's saying to you?